He's walking and he's showing himself to the disciples and different people. He's meeting up with them now at this particular time that we find in Galilee. This will be, as you read through it and you find through towards the end of the chapter 21 is where we're going. Throughout there, you'll find that this is the third time that Jesus has come to show himself to his disciples. But we find that he's there in Galilee because that's where the disciples went. They went back to what they did before they started following him. And that was what? Fishing. They went back to that occupation that they were familiar with. So I'm going to just take off here and we're just going to read. I'm going to start John 21. And let's just read through it, maybe 14 verses here, but just kind of go through what takes place. In John 21, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and this is in Galilee, and this is the way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, which would be James and John, and the other two disciples were together. Simon Peter says to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We are going with you." They went out, and immediately they got into a boat, and that night they caught everything, didn't they? They caught nothing. Boy, does that remind you of where you were back in Matthew when Jesus came along to pick them up and say, you know, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, you know, because they hadn't caught anything that particular night. Now, as you find that, fishing at night was usually the time they would catch the biggest amount of fish. So that's nothing unusual for them going out in the evening to catch the fish. Like, well, they're going out at the wrong time of day. Back then and for there and where they were at, going at night usually meant they were going to catch fish. So anyway, we're going to go along with you, they said. And they went out immediately, got into the boat. That night they caught nothing. Verse 4, but then when morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, and yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus says to them in verse 5, children, have you any food? And they answered him, no. And he says to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of what? The multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. So now when Peter had heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and he plunged into the sea, for the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not that far away from the shore, dragging that net of fish. Verse 9, then as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus says to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of large fish. Interesting, they had a count of that, huh? 153. And although there were many, the net was not broken. Jesus says to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord, Jesus then came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time that Jesus has showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When I read that this week and have been pondering just different things of the message of the Gospels, I kept going back to that point of thinking like, here we are again. These disciples are out in their boat doing their thing, you know, fishing. And these were experienced fishermen. So they normally should not be having problems catching fish. But of course, that's why they call it fishing, isn't it? Even today, they say, well, it's not as much as catching the fish as fishing. You know, you're trying to catch these things. But these guys were pretty seasoned at that job and in that occupation and knew what they were doing. They probably knew the lures, they knew the baits, they knew the net, they knew how to do a lot of things. But here again, now they're out here after the time of Jesus' resurrection. They've left, now they're out doing what they knew the best, fishing, because they really didn't have a focus on what are we to do now, you know? He's gone. He's raised from the dead. And they're fishing, and yet Jesus is on the shore, and he just tells them to cast your net on the other side. Now, I don't know, I didn't look into how big a boat these guys are using and the distances from one side to the other, but I don't perceive it to be a majorly big boat, you know. It was probably enough, you know, for four or five guys, six guys or whatever, and probably cramped quarters. I don't know for sure. But it's an amazing thing as I read that, first of all, to think that where they were fishing over here, there was nothing, but over here, there was something. And Jesus was able to say on the shore, cast your net on the other side, the right side of the boat, I think it actually says. And they did that. And then, of course, the story goes, we've just read it, that what? Evidently had 150 some odd fish in it, large fish. It was so much that it would almost break the net, but it didn't break the net. We find that in Matthew, the same thing where, you know, Jesus, have you caught anything? And they said, no. And he says the same thing, you know, cast your net, cast your net. So as I was looking at this and kind of, I guess, getting fixated on this, and maybe it's on our sign out here that kind of all of a sudden lit up in me, is that, is your net empty? Is your net empty? You know, many times we've gone through life, and we've had Christ as our Lord and Savior, and things happen, life happens, things happen, right? Everybody's had things happen to them, haven't you? I have. And there's a good chance that sometimes we have left that first love. We have left that place where we were really close to Christ. Christ came into our life. He made a difference. We got invigorated. We got encouraged. We got excited, whatever it might be. And we thought, this is the best thing since sliced bread. Now I'll never change. I'm going to stay right with you, Lord. Well, we find life comes and life changes, doesn't it? And life sometimes throws you curves, and life just happens. As I'm thinking about that, I want to read something here, if I can get it fast enough. Thank you, Lord. But life happens. Has anybody here had life happen?
No.
You guys have all been just right on even keel. Nothing has happened, and it's been the same old, same old. In the beginning of the year, just searching some things within myself, thinking with God, wondering what the God's plans were for this wonderful facility, the property, and you know the number of years that it's been here. And what is this all about, Lord? And so I changed some of the things on our website in the very front page. And I put this out there. As we each go through life, we find how easy it is to get caught up with the daily grind of life. We find many times that we have strayed from our relationship with God. This has happened for several reasons. Our careers, our family life, our friends, recreational interests, hobbies. The list can go on, and it does. We then realize that there's something missing, and we desire to rekindle that relationship we once had with God. And I put in here, Harvester's Church would like to help you reconnect to God and to help you begin to rebuild that relationship. Maybe you've never had that relationship with God. If that's the case, we would love to help you reconcile yourself back to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. We'd love to help you connect or reconnect with God here at Harvester's Church. So that was on my heart first of the year to put that out on the website, because we all get things in our life that takes us away from our first time with God. And it is what it is, right? Good, bad, or indifferent, we've all been there. If not, you might be there, so just hold on. So as I was reading this, I was thinking that, you know, here are these disciples followed Jesus for those 3 years plus, followed and seen, and he taught, and he showed, and he said, this is what he's going to do. You are my disciples. You're going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to die. I'm going to come back. They didn't understand all that until now he's died and he's come back. Oh, he's resurrected. So these guys were a close group of men around him. And yet when all these things happened, of course, we know Peter denied him, right? You know, Judas, he betrayed him, you know. So what a great bunch of guys, huh? If the guy didn't have any friends, he'd have no enemies type thing, or however that is. If I didn't have an enemy, I wouldn't have a friend. What's the old saying of that? You think of those things. But these were men that God called. And I looked back sometime back, and I just started trying to follow, you know, in the Matthew and Mark and Luke and even in John. But the transition of when Jesus came out of the, you know, baptism, and then he's out and about, and he begins his ministry, and he's going along the Sea of Galilee. These guys are fishing, and he calls them Leave your nets and come, follow me. And that's what they did. They dropped their nets and they left. Went a little bit further, found two more guys with their dad fishing. Leave your nets, follow me. These guys were just, they were drawn to him, and he took them with them. And they started doing, and then they went to, they got the tax collector. They got all these, you know, he's slowly building his entourage of these disciples. But now we're here, and they're fishing again, because this time of the resurrection, and yet now their nets are empty again, aren't they? They're fishing, but yet their nets are empty. And how easy it was, and how easy it is that Jesus says, well, just cast your net over here, and you'll have a plentiful catch and everything you need. Today, that's where I want us to look at, is your net empty? You know, have you tried to do what you've done in the past and it worked and now it's not working and now your net is empty? Are you hearing Jesus say to you in your life, cast it over here and there will be plentiful for you? I will take care of you. I will give you your substance of eating. You know, here he was, Jesus was on the shore doing what? Already had fish on the fire, already had bread, so everything was going. He was going to feed them. It's time for breakfast. Let me feed you. He's the manna from heaven anyway, isn't he? Amen. And so there he is. He's taking care of those disciples again. And so what is our net? What could our net look like? What would be in our net? What are we missing in our net? God in his word has told us many things that we can attain and have through him, hasn't he? These are the things that we try to tell and share with other people out there. Like, this is what God has done in my life. Like Tracy had said, you know, is this that other gospel, you know, your gospel? What did God do in your life that you can share with people? But God has given us some wonderful things. And I think it would say, ladies and gentlemen, if your net is empty or you're not satisfied with what's in that net, you need to cast it on another side of your life. You need to cast it over here where I'm at, where I'm going to put your abundance, where I'm going to put your things to sustain you. Now, we know that through Christ, he will sustain us. Amen? Even in the hard times, he will sustain us. He will take care of us. You know, he talks about, you know, when the disciples, he said, well, when you go, don't take anything with you. Those people will take care of you. I will take care of you. You know, look at the birds. They don't know where they're going to eat. They don't even know where they're going to stop or rest. I will take care of you is what Jesus was saying. So in our lives today, we need to have that same thought that, you know, I'm not going to say you just, you know, close up everything and go stand out in the field and say, okay, God, here I am. But I'm going to say through the abilities that God has instilled in you, the talents and the things that he's put in you, you will have a good life. Amen? They will come to the surface. The things that God has put in you will rise to the surface of your life if you allow it. Amen? If you allow him into your life to be able to nurture, to help you develop these things in your life that he's put in you, it will come about. It can't but help come about, right? Because Jesus says, I've come to give you life and to give it more abundant. We've come to help you. I'm going to do this. We're going to have that. With this, you're going to have all of these things. Well, here are some of the things. It says that, number one, 2 Corinthians 2:42 or 1:42. We're not going to get into all this, but it's going to say, I am a winner. Ephesians will tell us that my life has purpose. See, we talk to people out there today, and many people have gone through some tragic times, haven't they? Through one reason or another. Some of it they brought on themselves. Other things, it just happens. Let me tell you, life just happens. Many people say, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't even know why I'm living. I'd rather just end my life. Well, that's the lie of the devil. The enemy wants to take your life, that's for sure. But my life has no purpose. But my life has purpose with Christ, amen? Your life has purpose. We find that in Ephesians. Psalms 1:1-136. Psalms is great to go to, but it says, as a person, I'm successful. See, people are struggling to be successful. And people look at success a different way, don't they? You know, you can't look at success in the world's ways. Don't look at success in the value that the world places on success. Because the value that the world places on success is fleeting away. And it will be gone. like that whenever the time happens. Our value, my success, is knowing that I'm a child of God, that I have eternity there. And you know, while I'm on this side of the heavens, I'm going to still have an abundant life. God's going to take care of me. God's going to provide. God's going to do. He's going to take this. He's going to do that. As we talk about the tithe, as we read His word on that, we sow our tithe into the kingdom of God. It's just only a dime. If you've got a dollar in your pocket, all He says is all you need to do is put a dime in the plate. That's your tithe. 10%. And by doing that, He says, I will rebuke the devourer, the enemy, the devil. We lose a lot of things in life because the enemy comes and steals, kills, and destroys, right? And so these are all things that are in God's word. And that's why I can be a success. That's why my life has purpose, is because, number one, I've got Christ in my life. And when I received Him as my life, in my life, I began to have a change in my life. How about you? When Christ came into your life, did things change? When things began to change in your life with Christ, was it for the better? Were things getting better for you? Now, He says in His word, you'll have trials, tribulations, and all these things will happen as well. Don't be surprised. Your faith will be tested. They'll mock you and do that, and then you write on a thing, well, if somebody's having a hard time, pray, and people will mock that. Well, that's okay. They mocked me too, says Jesus, you know. So you're in good company. Anytime somebody mocks you, anytime somebody, you know, laughs at you and does whatever because, oh, you're one of them Jesus people, you're in good company because Jesus, if it were Jesus standing there, they would be saying the same thing to Him because they did. I overcome every obstacle, it says in John 16. Romans says that I am more than a conqueror. What are you trying to conquer in your life? Are you trying to conquer things that were in your past that seem to have had a hold on you, and now you're at a battle with that? And in the past, before Christ came into your life, you were trying to conquer those battles of your life in the past under your own authority and under your own strength. How did that work for you? Not very well. Didn't last long. I won a lot. For a while there, I thought I had, you know, I had it under control. I was beating that thing down, man. I had power. I was winning, you know. But then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. Things shifted. Things changed. And I was right back where I started from. Or worse. You even go further down. But I have overcome every obstacle. I am more than a conqueror. And it says in here that it talks about, I have divine protection. We are as children of God. Amen. This is a thing that I can't think what this is called that I had in my file here, but it's the proclamations of Christ or something or of our lives. I can't think of the title of this thing. I don't have a title on the page. But it's just the scriptures in His word that we need to be reading that gives us this ability to stand. And when all else fails, He says to stand. And if it continues on, stand, stand, stand on the word of God. Amen. Where is your net? What is your net missing? What do you need to add to your net? Are you listening when God says, okay, Tim, you've done it enough. You've been out all night. You've been fishing. And, you know, let's just use that as a thought process of, Tim, I've been fishing for the last 22 years of my life, and I have not caught anything. Something's not working right. All of a sudden, I come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and He's going to say, now all you need to do, Tim, is take that net, push it over on this other side of this here. Bam. That made me think. I don't know how wide the boat was. I don't know how far, what not. But I'm thinking, you know, from failure to success might only be that far in your life. It's all the farther it needs to go, possibly. It might be this far. I don't know. Gets to me thinking at times when I've prayed for things and the prayer hasn't been answered, under my understanding. Pray and pray again, pray, pray again. After a while, I'm thinking, well, I prayed for this and I've thanked You, Lord. I just don't see it happening. Oh, forget it. Way, way back, I started thinking things like that when we were praying, and this goes probably 10 or 15 years back. Now it really got a hold of me 15 years or so. My beginning of my walk with Christ has been about 20 years for the most part here, 22. And the Lord put an unction into me because I was asking one time about we pray and we pray. And then we ask and we pray again. And then some people give up. Now I know His word says pray. He knows your needs before you ask. Knock, 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 keep knocking. All these things. But a lot of times we get into those times and we get kind of frustrated. And we stop knocking. We stop asking. And the Lord impressed in my spirit many years back, it was like, you were that close to that breakthrough. One more step, one more prayer, one more coming before Him. And I thought, you know what, Lord, if that's the case, I'm going to keep knocking, I'm going to keep praying, I'm going to keep until the answer to the prayer comes, or you and your wisdom and your will shows me that you've got a better way and you're taking care of it this way. But I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to turn over. I'm not going to roll over and play dead. I'm not going to go away and say, oh, well, the devil won. No, the devil has lost. The devil is losing. You know, there's times in your life that you've got to remind the devil that he is of no concern to you as far as he's going to rule your life or tear your life down. Because you know why, Lord? Because I am a child of God. And anybody that's a child of God, the devil's not going to put his hands on you. Now, he'll try to instigate things. He'll try to manipulate things. He'll try to discourage you. He'll try to do all these things, right? Job went through that. But if that happens, don't lose your focus on God. Don't walk away with your net empty. You keep it full and you keep trotting, going through that water, picking up that fish, whatever it is that the Lord is putting in your net. And you don't turn up and say, well, I failed and I guess I'll just put the nets in the boat and go home. You keep going. You keep going. You keep listening. You listen. You listen. And when God gives you that command or suggestion, take your net and cast it over here. But Lord, I've been out here for 20 years doing this and it's not working. Well, then you need to change. You know, you need to change. You need to listen to me, the Lord would say. You need to pay attention to me, the Lord would say. Wow, look at this. I've been endowed with supernatural favor. Psalm says that, Psalms 5. We talk about, I am well and healthy. My thoughts are fixed on the Word of God. I can do all things in Philippians, that Christ that strengthens me. Amen. He who begins that work in you will be faithful to complete it. Amen. Has God got a new work in you today? How many here feel like you've got a new work in you today? I've got a new work. I tell you what, no matter how long you've been with God, every day or some seasons in your life, He's putting you out for some new work. He said, okay, you've done well there, my son or my child. Now, go do this. Well, I can't do that. I don't have the ability. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have this. I don't have the training. I don't. Then the Lord would say, you're very true, Tim. You don't have any of that. You're this, 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 but I am going to be there with you. And with I, God would say that I am the great I am. I am the great I am. I can't do that on my power, Lord. The Lord says, you're right, Tim. You can't do that on your power, but it's going to be my power infused in you. It's going to be my power working through you to get you where I want you to be. See, we think our life and working with God is all by our own abilities and talents and our own strength, and that's a lie. You can't do it on your own strength. You can't do it. God has gifted each and every one of us with some giftings. Amen. Some talents that He's put within us. There's just, you know, you get a group of people at a 15 or 20 or 30 or 40 people and just go through the talent and the wisdom that these people have in little intricate little areas, and you would never know that. And then you think, wow, if we could put all this together, that's why the church needs everybody, right? Needs the arm, the finger, the little toe, the leg, the ear, the nose. The church needs a full body. And the only way the church can get a full body is people got to go to church. Churches need to be filled with bodies so that we can borrow your arm, and I need your leg, and I need your finger, and I need, that's God speaking. I need your ear, I need your nose, God says I need all these things put together for a mighty body. Working together in unity, amen? And that's some of the things that our churches struggle with as well, unity. Because a lot of times they start being run by man. And when man starts running a church, it gets disjointed. It gets out of sync, you know? Because we can only do things for just so long before we change or do something different. We mess it up, don't we? Yeah, you know? Now, God needs us and God puts us here, but he says he wants you to be together, working together, bonded together, you know, and that cord, you know, the three-strand cord, it needs to be, one of those strands needs to be God. God needs to wrap. We use that in marriages, you know, a three-strand cord, the husband, the wife, God. Let God wrap that whole thing together, and then you will have a very, very, very good chance of success. We will have that in our lives. We will have that in our church. We will have that wherever we go, as long as we allow God to be one of those strands of rope in our life. And he's got to be the main strand of rope. He's got to be that center rope, and I'm going to wrap around him. Not the pilot. That's right. Yeah, I always hear those things like, God is my co-pilot. And the next side says, well, then you need to change seats. You know, God needs to be the pilot of everything. You know, so we find that I can do all things. We already talked about that through Christ who strengthens me. My faith is strongly working. See, these are all things that needs to be in our net. Our abundance of what we know, our confidence of who we are in Christ, the ability that our strength is not mine, but it's his, the ability to know that my faith is strongly working. Where is your faith at? That's a million-dollar question, huh? Where is your faith at? Do you have faith for that? Do you have faith for this? Are you able to believe that God hears these things? Are you able to believe that God, you know, knows the beginning to the end, that he knows the best things for you? We shared, I think, I don't know, it was just this morning back there, about prayers, okay, in our Sunday school area there. And I have prayed prayers that I'm glad God didn't answer. Anybody been there with me? I have prayed prayers that I'm glad God in his infinite wisdom knew a whole lot more than me. He knew the end to the beginning, to the beginning, to the end. And after it worked out that way, I had to say, Lord, oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I was moving with the moment. I saw right there quickly what it was. My dad had experienced a heart attack at like 52. And my prayers to God, even though we weren't church going and attending church, but I knew there was God. I prayed to God even at the teenage years and, you know, growing up. I remember even in my 8, 7, 8, 9 years old, holding my sister's Bible in her room at times and preaching like I was preaching. I couldn't. It was King James. I couldn't announce those words. I was, hey, you know. So I prayed, Lord, keep my dad on this earth until he sees his first grandson. And I was saying that because I was the only son that he had. So lineage, my dad, me, my next son would carry on. So that was my prayer. So well and good. I got married many years later. We started having kids many years later. And girl. You know, oh, great. You know, so we had a daughter and a daughter. And then that was many years. And then also we had a son. And the jubilation of a son or a child was quickly like, oh my Lord. That what I prayed, which would have been 10, 11, 12 years past, came back to me like it was just yesterday. Oh no, my dad's going to die. Because now I've got a son, and that's his grandson. And I said, God, keep my dad alive long enough to see his grandson, not granddaughter. Isn't that weird to think that how we say these things, and we try to, and I thought at that time I was doing the right thing, you know, and what, Lord, I just want my dad to see his grandson. So now all of a sudden we got a grandson, now I'm feeling like, ooh, happy, but ooh, I'm going to lose my dad. Got a grandson, I got a son, great, oh, my dad's going to die. And my dad didn't die. He got to see another grandson. He does. Could you imagine here when I was at that age and I was praying that and what God was thinking, like, I ain't going to answer that, Tim. But, oh, Lord, please let this happen. I just want my dad to see. But after that, after he was born, TJ was our first son. And a few months went by, I'd call, Dad, are you still okay? Dad? Dad? That he could die. Lord, let me see. Well, I think probably in the beginning, knowing that heart attacks back in that age and all that, is like, let him live long enough to see, you know, because the assumption was live long enough to see was then he's going to die, you know. But you know, as I looked at that, I thought, oh my gosh, you're so awesome. But see, that's where when we pray prayers and we think we know what we're praying is right, may not be right in God's ways of understanding where he's got your life going. And I am so thankful that even when I don't know about you guys, even when I pray in error, he corrects it. And I can trust him for that. Because couldn't that, you know, if God was like the devil, he would say, okay, and I'd say, why didn't he die? He said, you prayed. I did exactly what you wanted. Well, praise God, God doesn't do exactly what we want all the time. Because we're a mess. We're fallible. You know, our thoughts and our what we think and interject things like, well, I know what I'm doing. I'm a man. I've got this year. I know this and all that. You don't know nothing. Yeah, I went to college. I got a degree. I got 12 degrees. You still don't know nothing. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. See, so that's, as I was looking at this, just a very little bit of verbiage in this, and that net and that emptiness and how loving God is that he could look and say, just throw it over that side. And when they did, a bountiful supply was there. I don't know. I didn't mark it here. Let's see where I want to go. Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. It goes on to say that. We'd already shared about that. I should have done this. I didn't think I was going to go back there now. But, you know, when we find that, when we try to go out and we launch out on our own, now that's what these fishermen did. They launched out in that boat. They launched on their own to do what they had wisdom of doing. And we do that in our lives. We launch out where we think we want to go and what we've got. Even our jobs. I stand before you. I had no idea I was going to be a pastor when I was growing up. I had no inkling. I didn't go to church. I didn't go to Bible school. I didn't go to nothing. I went into the secular job market, and that's where I was for many years. By the way God works and moves and does things and changes things, you know, we find, and I don't have time to go, one of these days, we newer people that are here, try to go through understanding where this brought me and how we got up to Wisconsin and what God did once we got here. But it's like, this was the furthest away from me. Many of us, you know, we go through life and we go, well, I don't know how I got there from here because I wasn't planning on going there, but here I am, you know. Going through school, public speaking, I could not stand in front of people. I got so nervous, my knees shook, my voice quivered. I was like vibrato anytime I tried to give a public speech or something in high school because I just could not stand in front of people. But God does these things, and he works within these things, and it all comes about only because as we surrender ourselves to him, he's able to move in and do his thing. And so I, as all of us here, we've got to surrender ourselves. Fishermen, they need to surrender themselves. We all have to surrender ourselves. His disciples, here's where we find that. Jesus says to them, teacher, he says, which is the great commandment? And Jesus says to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. And that's where it's got to get to in our lives. We have got to love God with our whole being. See, some people love him with just maybe one part of the three. And they allow the other two-thirds to rule their life, trying to figure out why the one-third isn't working. But I've said this over and over, and because it's in my life as well, that if we don't give God the fullness of us, He's not going to give us the fullness of Him. He will not go where He's not welcomed. He will not intrude where He's not invited in. And so in our lives, we've got to get to that point and say, Lord, I need you in my life from the top down, left to right, fill me up. Here we go. And I want to be there for you, Lord. I want to serve you. I want you to tell me what to do. Show me where to go. Whatever it is, Lord. And when those things began to pop open in my life now, over 20 years back, or more, time's flying, it's hard to believe that where we have come from, but it's just been a step at a time. It's been trusting God. It's turning your life over to Him. And that's any one of us in this room today, wherever God has a plan and a purpose and a goal for your life to go, because Jeremiah 29:11 says that about, I have plans for you, plans to prosper you, plans not to have you fail. That was the scripture that I've said many times. It's on our letterhead or on the bottom. It might be on our website, but that's a scripture that is solidified within me that my God loves me. My God says He has plans for me for success, for not for failure. And God has that for all of us. You will be a success with God. It does say, when you call upon me and pray to me, I will hear you. But then also, I need to respond to Him and listen to Him. And there's the other part of that whole thing too. But at that point, if we can sell ourselves out totally to Him, then He can totally come into us and make a change in our life that is evident and that is sustaining. I want to be sustained by the power of God. I want to be sustained in His ability. I don't want it under my abilities. I don't want it under my thoughts and wisdom and strengths and all of that, because those are fallible. Those are, you know, those can wear down. But God doesn't wear down. You know, He's the Energizer Bunny that, you know, the Energizer Bunny learned from, you know. God will not wear down. So these are the things today I just want you to think about. Think about your net. Where is your net? Is it on the right side of His boat? Is your net empty? If it's empty, listen to Him and see what He says to change it or move it, do something with it, and allow your net to begin. And I'm not going to be catching fish. I want to be catching the promises of God. I want to be catching these things in the net that God has for my life, that I can be strong, that I can be, you know, built up in Him, that I can have all of these things, a wonderful time on this side of heaven. I want to enjoy this side of heaven, right? I'm sure you guys do too. And that's okay. We're going to enjoy it. And then whenever the time comes, He calls us home, we're going to enjoy it on that side of heaven. But I tell you what, we're going to live for God. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you, Lord, how you are so evident in life. Where we look around, we see your hand of creation. We see your print. Not the nail prints of your hand, Lord, but the fingerprint, Lord, of your hand and the prints of your hand, Lord, upon creation, Lord, as you molded and formed all of this together. We thank you, Father, how awesome this all is. And what a plan and what a purpose you have for us. Even those that are here today, there's not many of us, Lord, but each and every one that is here today, I pray for them, Lord, that you will touch their hearts, touch their lives, Lord, bring to completion those things that you have planned for them. Lord, where they're struggling and where they're not quite understanding, Lord, I pray them to hear from you, Lord, through that of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that they are unctioned through the Spirit, Lord, for direction, for confidence, for strength, whatever it might be, Lord, and that they're able to find it in your word, Lord, what they need. Lord, we thank you that you're here with us. We thank you that you never will leave us. I find such a comfort in that, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Father, as we close out today, Lord, we thank you for your presence. I pray, Lord, that some way, somehow, something that has been said has been that of you, Lord, into the hearts of these people that are here today. Whether they read it in your word, whether they hear it by that of the Spirit, whatever it might be, Lord, I pray that they hear it. I pray that it's a word for change and that change is for good and that, Father, you have much more for each and every one of us as we surrender more of ourselves to you. And the Lord, we're not going to go around anymore with an empty net. We're going to cast it on the side of the boat, that which you'd have us to do. We're going to listen to you like those disciples. Because, Lord, they could have said, oh, who's this guy on the beach? He doesn't know what he's talking about. We've been out here all night. Just put the net in. Let's go home. But they listened, Lord. And then they recognized it was you. You don't steer people wrong. You're not going to steer us wrong in this age as well. We thank you for that. We love you, Lord. We need you. We want to serve you. Bless this day and the times we have. Let it be to glorify our Heavenly Father. Lord, as we leave today, and Lord, we'll just drop our giving, our tithe as we leave, Lord, and we just ask your blessings upon it. Bless the giver, the giving. Bless their needs. Meet every one of them financially, physically, emotionally, house, food, whatever it might be, Lord, meet the needs of the people, because you're a God that meets the needs. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Again, bless the giving round. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.